This is lecture number 11 on Ezekiel by Alan A. McCrae, lecture number 11. You'll find, if you've been following the lectures, that we do not have lectures 9 and 10. Unfortunately, the recording was not good enough to be able to transcribe them. So we've gone from lecture 8 to lecture 11. So this is lecture 11. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 13 says, quote, I will bring them out of nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own lands, end quote. Now, I think up to this point, we certainly have this decision of God's dealing with all his sheep, regardless of their ethnic backgrounds. Be sure of that. He starts with that fact. But now he said, quote, I will bring them out from all the nations and gather them from the countries. I will bring them to their own land, end quote. Is he saying that he's going to take them to heaven, that is, all those who are truly his sheep? Or is he just speaking of a literal gathering of the people who were in exile only, for whom Ezekiel was written? I think we must say that here is a regathering of Israel, undoubtedly, but I don't think we can rule out the possibility that Ezekiel is going beyond that and speaking concerning all his sheep, and that he is going to bring them out, bring them in to wherever he wants them to be. In the end, if we truly belong to God, we can know that he is our shepherd, for we say, as we do in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He is delivering a promise for all his people. So we must say there is a definite relationship to Ezekiel's time, but also he might be looking forward to the time when the Lord brings all his sheep home to heaven. Now, he said, quote, I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed on the rich pastures on the mountains of Israel. End quote. This is Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 14. Knowing he speaks specifically of the mountains of Israel, surely you realize the primary emphasis is on bringing people back from the exile. Ezekiel is speaking to those in exile when he says, quote, you and your children are going to be brought back to Israel, end quote. So there is a specific promise to Israel, a promise to be fulfilled when Cyrus makes a decree that any Israelite who wishes to go back to Jerusalem can go. And this is a decree that Cyrus made in 539 B.C., however, the size of the group compared to the whole group was small that actually returned to the country of Israel. That is, very few of the exiles to Babylonia actually returned to Jerusalem and to Judah. Now, in chapter 34, verse 16, we read, quote, I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy, end quote. Now, right there is a powerful verse. Let me repeat it again. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. If only you are weak and you are helpless, God will take care of you. But if you are strong enough to stand up on your own two feet, then you know he's going to destroy you. Is that what he's saying? I don't think so. That doesn't fit from the reading of the scripture as a whole. So I think we have to try to interpret that in the light of broader scriptural principles and say that there are those who are using their strength for their own benefit only, and in that way it is harmful to others. It is those whom God is going to destroy. But he does not mean here that all who are sleek or all who are strong he's going to destroy without some qualification as to why he's going to do this. Apparently, these strong and sleek were using their strength for their own benefit and not for the benefit of other people. Ezekiel continues in verse 16 of chapter 34. Let me quote here, I will shepherd the flock with justice, end quote. Here he enters into another idea. He was talking about the shepherd. Now he's talking about the flock. Verse 17 of chapter 34. I'm going to judge between one sheep and another and between rams and goats. That's verse 17. I'm sure any farmer would like to have rams, but he'd also like to have goats as well. He doesn't want to destroy all the goats, just as he doesn't want to destroy all the rams. Both are important. He is here not talking of the shepherds, but of the sheep themselves, and it shows us that we cannot blame the shepherd for our limitations or our own selfishness. God knows that the shepherds are responsible for some things, but we must recognize that we also have responsibilities. God still sees the influences that come into our lives and the attitudes of others that injure us. God will punish them for that. But we cannot cast on each other the blame for our own failings and for our own selfishness. He will judge among the people. The shepherds' influence come into our lives, indeed, and they are tremendously important. But we have a responsibility, and God is going to hold us responsible for how we use the things that He has given us. A wonderful illustration of this is Genesis chapter 3, where God said to Adam, "Why have you done this?" And Adam says, "The woman that you put here, she misled me." But God doesn't get into an argument about that at this time. Then God says to the woman, "Why did you do this?" And she says, "The serpent, he has misled me." And then God turns to the serpent, and he says, "You know, Adam's excuse has been accepted. Eve's excuse has been accepted. You are responsible." And he goes right to the serpent when she says it's the serpent's fault, and Adam says it's Eve's fault. Nevertheless, God not only punishes the serpent, but he punishes each who was in a position and in a situation where they had great opportunity and yet they failed to do the right thing. They acted in a way that was contrary to his command. And so God is going to punish them. We cannot evade our responsibility by saying that the shepherd did it. God is going to judge among the sheep, and everyone has an individual responsibility to do what is right. Well, here's a student question. The question is, in chapter 34, verse 13, it says, quote, "gathered from the countries," end quote. Notice countries is plural. So I was wondering if, in the time of Ezekiel, that the Jews were scattered in more than one country besides Babylon. Dr. McCrae's response, well, we know that there were Israelites in Egypt. There were many in Egypt, and there were many in Babylonia. Well, of course, from the Assyrian deportation in 722, the Jews also were scattered all over the world, and then again in 586 BC, when they were deported to Babylonia, or Babylon, while some indeed fled to Egypt. So it appears that they were in more than one nation. Another student question. The point you just made about the individual's responsibility being important in this period, well, somewhere I read that during this period of time, God dealt with Israel more as a nation rather than on an individual basis. But I'm not really sure that's accurate. Is that how it is? McCrae's response, I would say that God deals with the nation as a nation, and he deals with the individual as an individual, and neither of them escape their responsibilities by blaming it on others. In this particular passage, he's talking about dealing with the individual sheep, versus other passages where he's talking about the whole question of the nation. Another student question. Yes, but some say it's almost like this is the first time that individual responsibility is emphasized. McCrae's response. Well, I would say that individual responsibility indeed is emphasized throughout the Bible. But we have to recognize that every one of us is tremendously affected by all sorts of influences that come upon us from different directions. Where we were born, how we were brought up, who our friends are. We are so influenced that there are many professors in some of our great universities who would say that there is no such thing as individual will or personal responsibility. We are just programmed by what's around us, that we act according to our backgrounds and to our own situations. Everything is just one big machine which we are a part of. The scripture denounces that. We are responsible in spite of our backgrounds. Of course, we also find the opposite attitude, which people say that anyone is free to be anything they want. We can do anything we want because we're not bound by anything but our own personal decisions. So one side says that everything in life is programmed and it's just the forces and influences that we have upon us that we have no free will. The other side makes the argument that you are responsible for whatever happens. And of course, the fact is that both of them are true, but we don't know how to put the two together. God knows, but no man knows. There are those who greatly emphasize this side and those that greatly emphasize the other side, and then they oppose each other and divide into groups over the matter and argue it out over and over and over again. All we can say is Scripture teaches both personal responsibility and that influences outside of ourselves can have some impact upon us. Individual responsibility is clearly taught in Scripture. But both these facts are true, individual responsibility and outside influences, and we have to recognize they both exist. So the attitudes of the shepherds are splendidly important in deciding what they are to do with the sheep. But the sheep have an individual responsibility as well, and they can make choices that will tremendously affect this world. And so the Lord says he will judge each sheep, and he will also judge each shepherd. Now, back to Ezekiel, verse 22 of chapter 34, quote, I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered, end quote. When will he do that? When will people stop plundering his flock? When did that happen? Cyrus gave the flock permission to go back to the land of Israel, but it was still under the control of foreign nations. Not only that, but there were individuals among them who proved unworthy of what God was going to give them. There were the sheep, there were the shepherds, fine shepherds and bad shepherds, fine sheep and bad sheep. When it is that God is going to save his flock so that they no longer get plundered? When will that occur? For he says, quote, the time will come when they will no longer be plundered, and I will judge between one sheep and another, end quote. And again, this is verse 22 of Ezekiel chapter 34. Is Ezekiel consistently dealing with the affairs of that time? Or is he looking forward to the last days, as we call them, to the future judgment among all his people? It hangs on this little phrase, quote, I will place over them one shepherd, my son David, and he will tend them to be their shepherd, end quote. And this is verse 23. Well, when did that occur? We haven't seen much that deals with that in the time of Ezekiel. Here we have a prediction which has not yet occurred. Quote, when all of God's people will be led by one shepherd, my servant David, he will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. End quote. This is verse 24 of chapter 34. Surely here he is giving a promise which looks forward beyond anything that has yet occurred. It must look forward to the universal establishment of the kingdom of God. It must look forward to a time which has not yet occurred when he establishes his servant David and he will tend his flock. Well, Ezekiel goes on, quote, I will make a covenant of peace and rid the land of wild beasts so they can live in the desert and sleep in the forests in safety, end quote. And this is verse 25. Is he talking there of animals? About poisonous snakes and about lions and tigers, about animals who are going to be a worry to us? I know today there is much damage done around Israel from animals. They say a small group of people are killed in Israel by snakes every year. A much larger number are killed by bee stings. Certainly the bee would not be considered by anybody to be a wild beast. So is he talking about animals? Well, at any rate, he's going to rid the land of wild beasts so they can live in the desert and sleep in the forest in safety. A few years ago, there were four people in Yellowstone National Park who went out to camp, and they spread their sleeping bags, and they lay down, and they slept there, and in the night, a grizzly bear came and killed all four of them. Now, that's not common, I hasten to say. That is rare. I have slept out hundreds of times in mountains and in desert areas. Is the Lord here giving a promise which is speaking specifically of animals and looks at a time like that of Isaiah 11, where Isaiah describes the animals living in harmony with each other and with humankind, a time when the different animals will no longer endanger one another? He is surely looking forward to such a period, I believe, but surely we need protection from humans, too. I've walked on the Appalachian Trail in Georgia. It was in 1960, and there were altogether about 100 people who made the whole walk, and then the next year another 100 people made the whole walk as well in 1 year. That's quite a feat, by the way. And a few years ago, I went up here north of Allentown up to the Appalachian Trail in late July or early August, I can't remember, but I just saw 15 different groups with one, two, or three people in each group. And then, 3 years ago, there were three or four parties in a row who were attacked and beaten and had all their money stolen off of them on the Appalachian Trail. The wickedness of humanity was worse than that of the animals on the trail. I had decided that I couldn't bother to be in an isolated area because of the possibility of being assaulted and injured by people. So we look forward to the wonderful time when Jesus' promise is going to come upon the earth. He's not saying in heaven there will be no hurt, in heaven there will be no pain. Rather, his kingdom will be on earth. There he will protect and keep his sheep from all pain and harm, whether it be by wild animals or whether it be by other human beings. This is the end of Lecture 11 by Alan A. McCrae on Ezekiel.